BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
In the days long vanished, seldom from her eyelids were the teardrops banished. Now I teach my children each melodious measure. Oft the tears are flowing, oft they flow from my memory's treasure. Rain Gagan. I'm a poet, writer, playwright. I am of Romani and Welsh heritage, and my mother was born in a gypsy wagon, Vardo. When my mother was nine, my grandparents moved into a brand new council house in Hamworth in Middlesex because it was getting more and more difficult to be able to live on the road and in their Vardos. So my mum was then mixed with the Gorgers, the non-Romani people. She still went hop picking and fruit picking every summer. So they would be in the house in the winter and then they would be sort of travelling in the summer. My mother never did go back out on the road. She liked her house. My granny loved her house, but she sold flowers. So she was out every day selling flowers and walking, and she knew many people. It was my grandfather that missed the Vardo most. I was familiar with the Gypsy Leader, the songs Dvorak composed, and I sat and listened to that song, and it really touched my heart. He does actually evoke the image of the mother and the tears and the child. I found it very, very powerful. This idea of music for the soul, for me, is literally when you feel moved, you feel something in your body that is unexplainable and it touches something very deep. It's very spiritual. And for me, when I heard it, I was in floods of tears, actually. I had to play it again. There's certain notes with certain instruments that really connect with the heart. It's very much about the mother with the child in the Vardo. It sort of took me back to my own mother, who did actually cry a lot because my dad died when I was a baby. And I think she was always grieving for him. I was remembering my mother, myself as a child with my mother, and the fact that she did have a lot of grief and she did used to love singing to me as a child. Also my Welsh Nana, who cried a lot because my dad had died. It's the fact that they hold so much emotion, so much history, and so much grief.
Songs My Mother Taught Me is part of Dvorak's cycle of gypsy songs, the Tsigoina Melodine, written in 1880, and they come just at a tipping point of Dvorak's career, when he's just become a big name with a really big international reputation. Hi, my name's Emily McGregor, and I'm a writer and music historian. I'm currently writing a book about grief and the music we inherit from our parents. People like Dvorak, 19th century Bohemian composers, were trying to establish their own distinctive musical voice, and they did this by drawing on folk traditions, the so-called music of the people, the music they believed was authentic of the land and of the soil. He writes the gypsy songs for tenor and piano, and the poetry that he's setting is a selection of poems from the first poetry collection of poet and writer Adolf Hayduk, which was published in 1859 and titled The Gypsy Melodies. At the opening of the song, what feels like a moment of dance with this off-kilter rhythm, the accompaniment evokes the sound of the dulcimer, which is a folk instrument that consists of a lot of strings kind of stretched across a board and then are hit by hammers. Then in the voice part settles into something more melancholic, tracing these downward stepward arcs that repeat and then they repeat again. which can't help, for me anyway, to call to mind the tears falling down cheeks referenced in the text. Even a sense of sinking into the past, sinking down into the singer's memory after that initial kind of spark of dance-like joy at the opening. It seems deceptively simple. We get these crystalline musical architectures, almost like poetry. Every note is working incredibly hard. It might be short, it might be this kind of gorgeous, like poignant miniature. It comes in at little over 2 minutes, but it evokes so much in this compressed space. And I think it gets right to the heart of some of the most difficult feelings about how we deal with music associated with the people we've lost, about how we listen to it, about how we perform it, and about how we continue to pass that music down the generations so that it creates our sense of who we are.
The Songs My Mother Taught Me is a piece that I've found out about while I was looking for a suitable piece for Mother's Day as a gift to my own mother and to all mothers in the world. It's beautiful lyrics that represent the innocent and untroubled times of childhood pair really, really beautifully with the melody, in my opinion. My name is Bartel Chosoy, violinist, conductor and composer based in Paris. I'm originally from Ankara, Turkey, and I moved here when I was 11. In early February 2023, terrible earthquakes hit the southeast Turkey and Syria. Children lost their homes, their sense of security, and many of them unfortunately lost their families as well. When it happened, I got really affected and decided to donate a big part of my earnings to charity. But I later felt like I had to do something more significant of organizing a charity concert, especially when it started losing the media attention it first got. I decided to choose the Dvorak since I got really affected seeing the images of children separated or reunited to their families, and I thought it would be the right piece for the occasion. In a way, I think me choosing it also has to do with the way it unites cultures. A gypsy song written by a Czech composer, performed by a Turkish and a French artist, to support the Turkish and Syrian children through a concert that got watched worldwide. I think this really highlights the universal language of music. One of the main things that I was trying to convey through the event was not only showing the people suffering, but also showing that there's hope if we all unite. Songs My Mother Taught Me will always have a special place in my heart. I felt something special about it from the very first time I've heard it, and now that I've gotten to associate it with the images of those innocent children, The place it has in my heart, I just wouldn't be able to let it go.
In me, it evokes a mixture of pleasure and pain. It evokes a mixture of that kind of sense of comfort. He does that using a mixture of some musical techniques like the transition between major and minor, that kind of ambiguity the whole way through. And also, I think, that kind of lilting, dance-like folk feel in the left-hand part, in the bass line of the piano part, against a much more kind of smooth contour in the vocal part. Really interestingly, the voice and the piano accompaniments are in slightly different meters. So 2 against 3, duple time against compound time, which creates a feeling of being slightly out of step. And I wonder if that signals some of the processes of memory or the disconnect between the time of the present and the time of memory. And there's also this really interesting and subtle harmonic ambiguity throughout. It oscillates between a major and a minor feeling. It flirts with the relative minor in a way that I think does a lot of work for Dvorak in navigating the shifts and ambivalences in how the music that we associate with people who we've lost makes us feel.
Hi everyone, this is Sumi Jo. I'm a soprano from South Korea. Songs my mother taught me was a song I was familiar with since I was a child, because my mother used to listen to it often. It was a tune that felt like home to me. I wanted to create an album by gathering the songs my mother liked and give it to her as a gift. Luckily, I was able to give it to her a year before she passed away. My mother always wanted me to be a famous opera singer rather than an ordinary daughter. I still can't believe she sent me to study opera in Italy when I was only 19. I imagine it must have been a difficult decision of hers in her life. Now I'm thinking that separation made us stronger to each other. Even though she has been a very strict mom when I was a little, I'm glad she became the most supporting person and a good friend throughout my career. I think many parents often try to impose their unfulfilled dreams onto their children. In my case, I feel fortunate that I was able to pursue my mother's dream, and in the end, I'm grateful that she guided me in that direction. I embraced my destiny as a musician, and I have made a successful opera career and still enjoying it very much. When I first thought about this album, I wanted to make it something different and modern, using new harmonies and instruments. I especially find it exciting to take well-known songs and then make them into something unique with my own feelings and style. The process of doing this was quite thrilling and interesting. The lyrics of that song encompass everything in life. The love of a mother, the longing, the realization of time passing quickly as a daughter grows to become a mother herself, and the bittersweet sadness that comes with it. I don't have any children, but as a daughter, I sing that song while embracing its deep emotions.
My name is Sua Lee and I play the cello with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra. Right at the beginning of lockdown, I was asked to do a recording for the Scotsman. It was called Scotsman Sessions, a series of interviews and pieces being played through lockdown from musicians from around the world. I had come up to the Highlands to join my partner where he lives. It's in Grantham-on-Spey on the River Spey. I had decided I would do my Scotsman sessions, playing outside again, but in the woods at the back of our house. I'd been reading and thinking about Beatrice Harrison pretty much a century earlier, doing this as an outside broadcast back in 1924. She had played songs my mother taught me, like a dialogue between her and a nightingale in her garden. And as this was the piece that she had played, it felt like absolutely the right piece to be playing in that situation.
So although we don't have nightingales in Scotland,
there's a great range in the piece. There's something very lilting about it. It feels like a sort of lullaby, but it has beautiful breadth and it has a flow about it. It's comforting and yet yearning. It's quite an emotional piece. So that day, I took myself with a whole bunch of equipment. My cello, I had tripods, cameras, audio equipment. Went to the back of the house, over the fence, into those woods at the back, and found the perfect tree. It was a massive Scots pine. Set my stool in front of it and sat at the foot of this tree with my spike sort of sinking into the earth and started tuning up.
And I just wanted to share that I've had the most magical 5 minutes where I was watching two red squirrels chasing each other up an old Scots pine that's right in front of me.
And then I sat down. There was a roe deer that appeared out of nowhere. It was a really magical moment for me. I just stared into her eyes and didn't really know whether to stop, but I carried on tuning and she seemed to really appreciate it. It just felt incredible to be sort of playing out in nature. And of course, the sound of the cello feels very different from being indoors. There's something very special about the sound going immediately out, becoming part of the oral landscape. Outside, somehow the sound becomes part of the whole picture of what you're hearing. Crunching leaves, insects, and also the sound that all the birds were making around and about. And there was this one particular chaffinch that seemed to perch right above my head on a branch and was so loud and was really demanding attention. So as I was playing, you know, holding these long notes, there was like a dialogue that happened where I'd hold a note and the chaffinch sing its phrase and then I would continue and the chaffinch would join in again. Oh, I was just in sort of heaven sitting out there playing.
Dvořák wrote Songs My Mother Taught Me in the midst of a period of great loss. He lost three children in the period 1878 to 1888, and two of which he lost before writing the Gypsy Song Cycle. Anyone who experiences that kind of loss, it's bound to find its way into their music. He's thinking about the songs taught him by his mother, and he's thinking about teaching songs to his children. And having experienced that kind of very acute loss of children and not seeing those children growing up, for Dvořák would have been an incredibly distressing and personal and poignant loss. And that's music's ability to contain someone simultaneously experiencing contrary emotions. So acute distress and comfort or closeness at once, which is something you might recognise if you've ever lost someone and listened to the music that you associate with them. Charles Ives also set this song in 1895. It was part of a collection of 114 songs that he published. And he dedicated Songs My Mother Taught Me to his own mother in that collection, Molly Parmalee Ives. It's really still, it's really contained. It's absolutely a strong example of a piece of music that fits into like the canon of music that's about grief.
Charles Ives was an American composer. He was a contemporary of Dvořák. This song was written a little bit later than Dvořák's Songs My Mother Taught Me. But he was a wonderful composer. Hi, my name's Ruby Hughes, and I'm a singer. Charles Ives must have heard Dvořák's song and fallen in love with it, not only with the music, because there's something so profoundly beautiful about the melody in Dvořák's song. He must have been inspired to write his version and to take the poem, and it was translated also in Dvořák's lifetime into English. So he set the English translation of Songs My Mother Taught Me 15 years later than Dvořák. I I feel like his interpretation is in a way so inspired by Dvorak, because there's something about the immediacy of the melody. It's so beautiful and so simple, and it really reminds me of the sort of song a mum would sing to her baby to lull the baby to sleep. There's something about the music which is very moving and very comforting. There's something serene about it, and simple, but very direct and emotional as well. He had children himself, one adopted daughter and another children as well, together with his wife. And he must have been privy to songs that his wife will have sung, and perhaps he even sung to his children to help them settle at night and to feel attuned and attached to his children. In Ives, you know, you've got the A section, which is the melody that repeats, and then you've got the B section, which gets more excited, and then it goes back to the A. So it's the chance for the listener to learn the song and for it to kind of be embedded in their memory. So there's something quite special about the ABA form, and it's the same in the Dvorak. It definitely repeats, the A section comes back much softer. In Charles Ives, it's in a three. Traditionally, it would be kind of A waltz, one, two, three, four. It's in a three. Dee-da-da-da-dee-da-da. You know, there's this sort of lulling quality, what we call it tactus in music. It's the pulse, it's the feel of the music. You feel that gentle swing, which just helps to lull the baby to sleep. And in Dvorak, it's slightly different. It's in four, I think. There's some quite large leaps there in both the Dvorak and in the Ives, which is so very beautiful and expressive. And there's a sort of sweep, but in a different feel. It's in a 4-4 feel rather than in a 3. This recording was the outcome of a recital I gave at the Wigmore Hall of Helen Grimes' Bright Travellers, and with words by Fiona Benson. She wanted to set poems that were in a sense a reflection of society today and what parents, mothers and fathers, sometimes have to face as parents. I think there are 5 movements. One is dealing with a stillbirth. It's really, really sad. I don't think I've ever heard a classical song that has tackled so honestly that pain and that suffering. And I feel it's so important for mothers and fathers to have, you know, their experiences reflected in music somehow, because it can be of great solace to them, and it gives them an opportunity to grieve sometimes, and to feel that they're not alone. This beautiful mother is singing for her children, and there's that mixture of sadness and happiness, and this is bittersweet. There is a sense of nostalgia in a way, because whoever is singing it is both looking back at their relationship with their mother and looking forward perhaps to the relationship with their children. So they're remembering perhaps their mother who's no longer with them. So there is something very sad and melancholic about the melody. that song will then be taught to those children. Those children will go on to sing and to remember. And that's how music just perpetuates people singing it for generations and passing it on.
When I listen to songs my mother taught me, what I think about is the music our parents leave behind and the music we in turn pass on to the next generation. And that speaks quite strongly to my personal experience. My father died very suddenly in 2019. He was a classical and jazz guitarist. And one of the kind of most difficult things to deal with was his music stand, which was basically piled up with all the music that he was still practicing. And it took me quite a long time to kind of re-engage with that music that he quite literally left behind. It's something that actually doesn't get talked about all that much, and that's how our relationships to music change after a bereavement. They call the music kind of a sacred conservatory, where you can kind of go and, I guess, sort of visit the person that you've lost. And I think that's what this work, Songs My Mother Taught Me, is absolutely pointing to. It's kind of distilling that question: what is it to coexist with music after a bereavement, and then where does that music go? The kind of bittersweetness of loss. When I listen to this music, I feel comfort that you feel when you listen to music associated with someone who's died. You can feel the pain, you can feel the kind of the disconnection from that person, I think. Like moving into a space of memory and suddenly remembering that you're actually in the space of the present. This kind of disjunction between those two spaces is incredibly painful, and knowing you can never really touch that space of memory. So for me, this is a piece of music that connects me with a broader sense that other people have had people die, that other people have had this experience as well. And that's really powerful, and that's really moving.